All right, listen, let me kick off a topic here. So, number one on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling this, it's a veteran's affair. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have a call from a retired Navy Admiral, Kent Davis. He's had a pretty amazing career, and I'll tell you more about him in a few minutes. But the interesting dynamic is he's not just a Navy Admiral. He also spent time in the Army as a JAG officer. He also spent time enlisted in the Navy before he ever joined the officer ranks. He's kind of seen all of it. And then he was basically hired by the State Board of Veterans Affairs to be the commissioner of the ADVA, the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. People don't realize that every state has its own Department of Veterans Affairs to help facilitate the things that come through the VA from on high. There are some things that happen only federally. There are some things that have their territory within the federal, but the state ADVA in Alabama's case, it also has an impact in a big way for veterans. And there has not been, to my knowledge, there has not been any complaint. I spent 8 years in Montgomery as a state senator. I do not recall ever having an issue with the ADVA that we had to resolve. I never saw a budget outcry. I never saw somebody complaining. I never saw constituents. Now, maybe some of y'all had a different experience, but the bottom line is the ADVA has been a rather responsive organization, so much so that I, as one of the senators who sat on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, I worked on a number of initiatives with ADVA staff. I was personally responsible for helping to start what's known as the Veterans Courts Initiative, which makes sure that when veterans come through the legal system, that they are able to be identified and tied to benefits and treatment plans and things they didn't know they qualified for. It happens all the time. That being said, I got to caveat this whole argument about what happened with the current commissioner being fired by Governor Ivey with how I feel about another position in this state. And this is where I got a bit of a quandary. I like the ADVA. I have never seen controversy with the ADVA. I have no beef with the fact that the ADVA has been apparently a well-oiled machine for many years. And Admiral Kent Davis, as the seventh commissioner of the ADVA, seems to have been doing his job right. In fact, the reason why he drew some ire from the Ivey administration is because he dared to question why some grants were going to a different department that he felt like were supposed to come through his department. I'm going to let him tell his side of the story on some of that. But the thing is, he is not hired by the governor. He is not a cabinet position that was confirmed by the Senate in the standard form. In other words, much like we see with like RFK and Tulsi Gabbard and Pam Bondi up in D.C., in the state of Alabama, we have the same things. I was constantly on the floor of the Senate voting for confirmations of the governor's cabinet or trustees to a university or whatever the case may be. And this position is actually hired by the board of the VA as opposed to the governor herself. And yet Governor Ivey fired him. How's that work? I don't know. Now, you may remember during COVID. Oh, geez, I just picked that scab, didn't I? You may remember during COVID that we have a state health officer named Scott Harris. And I got to where I was really sick and tired of Scott Harris. State Health Officer Scott Harris is the one who kept issuing proclamations that had the force of law that shut down businesses, and the governor would sign off on them. And oh, by the way, then it would get even bigger. We'd wind up having, you know, school closures and business closures and what's declared essential and non-essential and who has to get a vaccine and do you have to wear masks and all of it. That was Scott Harris. What we discovered that we didn't know is the state health officer was not accountable to anybody. The state health officer was not accountable to the governor. The state health officer did not have any accountability, could not be impeached by the legislature. The state health officer was appointed separately by the medical association. In other words, the doctors in this state who have a lobbying group called the medical association hired their own state health officer, and then he had the force of law behind him. It was weird. The position we've got now with the ADVA, I advocated for a change to the way that the state health officer is appointed. If we're going to have somebody who has the force of law behind them and the ability to shut down businesses and do things like that, then I think that they ought to be accountable to the people. But I don't believe that applies here. And why do I say that? And the reason being, and I'm still fleshing this out in my mind, and I want to hear Kent Davis talk about it. There is a difference. The ADVA does not come in and shut down businesses and direct traffic and create law and issue proclamations like that. It is an administrative agency for the purpose of benefiting veterans and making sure their benefits and services are in place. State health officer actually crushes souls. The ADVA commissioner administers benefits. So I think there's a difference. The quandary I've got is, have I created a pickle for myself by advocating for the state health officer to have his position changed and made something accountable to the people, but I'm not advocating for the same thing for the ADVA. Now, there is legislation currently before the Alabama Senate. It's actually the guy who replaced me in the Senate, Andrew Jones. I don't like his bill. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like his bill. What I'm also hearing is his bill did not have any collaborative work from Veterans Association. I'm a member of the Military Officers Association. I'm a past member of the VFW. And I'm just going to tell you, you just don't go out there and change the Veterans Board without consulting some of the veterans groups. You know, at that point, all you're doing is toting water for a lame duck governor. But that's apparently what he's done. And the bill's not going very well right now. But what the bill does is the bill basically takes the entire State Board of Veterans Affairs, the members who are appointed by different agencies like MOA and VFW, and it relegates them to nothing more than an advisory capacity. It strips them of all their authority, and it makes the commissioner's position appointed only by the governor and answerable only to the governor. So what good is the board at that point, in my opinion? I think there's a way to work this out. I could see the governor having say in who is in there, but then the board still having authority as well, and we got to work this out. In the meantime, I got to take a break. Let's take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm going to put a little more meat on these bones, and then we'll talk to Admiral Kent Davis coming up top of the hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. By the way, you can catch the show, if you're not aware, you can catch the show in a variety of platforms. So yes, we are streaming online. We're live on radio, obviously. We got all of our radio outlets going right now. You know, North Alabama and of course Chattanooga and Tennessee and then down yonder in Auburn and hopefully more to come in the near future. But we've also got the ability for y'all to actually see inside the studio if you want to. You can watch the show on Facebook, on two different accounts on X or Twitter. And then you've got Rumble and YouTube, and man, we're everywhere. So check it out. And oh, by the way, if you missed it yesterday, we had the interview with actor Kirk Cameron. Went great. We recorded that from our new podcast studio. So that went up, and I think you posted that one already. The video is out there where they can see it, right?
Yeah, the video is up on YouTube, Right Side Media's YouTube page, if you want to go check it out. It's also on Phil's Twitter. It's pinned at the top of his Twitter profile there as well.
Awesome. Thanks, bud. All right, let me get back to this situation with the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. So coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have the former Department of Veterans Affairs Commissioner Kent Davis on. He's a retired Navy admiral, and he's speaking out now, obviously. And there's even rumor that he's going to run for governor, believe it or not. Will he? I don't know. I think that, you know, it could certainly be a thing. You know, the interesting dynamic here is that I totally get that because my dad, JP's granddad, actually worked for Governor Fob James, got sideways with him, left the administration, and ran against him for governor.
So, I remember seeing the post or the little campaign stuff in the garage.
Oh, yeah. when now, obviously, he didn't become governor, mm-hmm. But I still got a couple of things that, you know, from the days when he did that say, like, Phil Williams for governor, yep. A governor we can be proud of.
Yep.
And I'll never forget, he had a bunch of signs left over. He and I were down there in the garage. He looked at me one day and he goes, well, one of us has got to run for governor because we got a lot of signs.
I was going to say, if you ever wanted to run for governor, you got signs. You don't have to pay for signs. You got all of them.
I put one of them in my Senate office, and I had somebody walk in one day and look at it and look at me and go, should I know something? And I said, no, no. But yeah, the the thing we got here to figure out, and I'm going to get Kent Davis to describe it for us in more detail, is what went awry? What happened? Because I've got a story here from AL.com. Phil, did you go to AL.com? I did. I'll go to all these liberal trolling websites so you don't have to. But AL.com ran a piece back in October talking about the fact that Kent Davis was at sideways with the governor because he was calling out a $7 million grant dispute. And then he actually apparently filed an ethics complaint against the Department of Mental Health's director. So there was this kind of squabble, I guess you'd say, amongst different members of the state government. And what I don't know is what happened to try and mitigate this. It may very well be the governor called everybody in and said, look, y'all start playing nice or heads are going to roll. But my sense is what happened is it became a very public thing. Unfortunately so. And the governor then decided she wanted Kent Davis to resign. And he said no. And then the State Board of Veterans Affairs actually met and voted for him not to resign. How about that? In other words, the board wanted the guy they had hired to stay. But then the governor said, no, I really do want him to go. And he went and met with the governor and said, give me a few months to wind some things up and I'll leave in the end of the year. And then she allegedly fired him anyway and had his stuff removed from his office. So it's a weird dynamic. We're going to talk to the man himself coming up in just a moment. Admiral Kent Davis, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I spent some time right before the top of the hour break unpacking for you the topic that we're in. I'm calling this whole section of the show, this Dipper One, it's a veterans affair. And it is. And we're talking about the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. So I'm about to bring somebody on who's got the straight skinny, the inside story, and all of this. It's Rear Admiral Kent Davis, U.S. Navy retired. He was the 7th commissioner of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. He was selected by the State Board of Veterans Affairs to serve in that position, which is a key point. Now, he's got a great resume. I can't even possibly begin to go into all of it. It's even longer than mine. He actually was the son of a combat-wounded World War II Army veteran himself. Born in Montgomery, went to LSU, enlisted in the Navy. He got his commission as an active-duty Navy officer, served on the Big Mo, the battleship USS Missouri, served on the U.S. carrier USS Abraham Lincoln. He had a great run in the Navy and then went to law school, Georgia State University, got his law degree and became an Army JAG officer, go figure. And then he went back in the Navy. And y'all, he's got deployments after deployments after deployments. Retired after 31 years and became the Director of Economic Development for the city of Anniston and then served at the state level at ADVA. And he's on the phone. Let me quit talking. Admiral Kent Davis, how you doing?
Bill, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, thank you, and thanks for your service, by the way.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Hey, Admiral, listen, I want to do something here. I want to talk about this topic, about what's going on in Montgomery, talk about the legislation, about how you wound up leaving your position. But before we do that, I really think it's fair for the audience to hear what is the ADVA. And I say that because as a state senator, I became more acquainted with the ADVA by being in Montgomery, and I'm a veteran myself. Can you unpack that for us a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely, Phil. There is a lot of confusion. People confuse the federal VA, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, with the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. Very distinct roles. I even go online and I have seen some comments. People say, yeah, we need a bill to reform VA because the medical system is horrible. They need to reform that. And my disability payments are always messed up. State has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And I've even corrected some veterans about that. So the federal VA takes care of short-term medical needs of veterans through their hospitals and clinics and vet centers, which are mental health counseling centers. And they also handle those individual payments of things like disability compensation, GI Bill. The states, all 50 states and 5 territories, have their own departments of veterans affairs with a completely distinct role. One of their primary duties is long-term care for veterans. They all run a system of state veterans homes, and that's the case here in Alabama. There are 5 long-term care facilities, state veterans homes. They also operate kind of as the customer service arm of the entire Veterans Affairs process. In Alabama, there are over 60 county-based veteran service offices that free of charge assist veterans with anything veteran-related. We also assist the federal government with the running of veteran cemeteries. The goal is to have a veteran cemetery within 75 miles of every veteran in the U.S. The eventual goal is to have about half of those cemeteries run by the federal government and half run by the state governments. And then many states offer additional benefits, educational benefits, tax breaks, and things like that. So very distinct roles between the federal VA and the state VAs.
Okay.
And I must say, in most cases, you hear good things about the state VAs. The criticisms, whether they're justified or not, seem to be about the federal VA, and that confuses people. And that's why I've heard some comments that, yeah, we do need to reform things through things like this bill, but they get the two entities mixed up.
Yeah. All right. That's perfect. And listen, that describes my interactions. And as a state senator, I'll tell you, I served on the Senate Committee for Veterans Affairs. And I also was instrumental in working with some of the staff of the ADVA to help develop what's known as the Veterans Courts Initiatives in the court system here in Alabama as a former state senator. So I get it. I love your department. I don't think I ever knew or even cared, for that matter, that your position as the commissioner was not actually retained or confirmed in the usual manner that a cabinet position would be. It's totally different. Things kind of got sideways this past fall. What in God's name happened between you and Governor Ivey and the Department of Mental Health and all of it?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. The Commissioner of Veterans Affairs for the state of Alabama has never been a political appointee. And the reason was, in 1945, at the end of World War II, it was specifically set up to be a nonpartisan, apolitical, independent agency to take care of the state's veterans. The thinking was, shouldn't be about Republicans and Democrats. It should be apolitical, nonpartisan. It's been that way for 80 years. And I got to say, it's worked very well as a model. So here's what happened. We have a horrendous problem with veterans' mental health in the state. Everybody seems to be acknowledging that now. There were several efforts over the past few years to increase the state's assistance with veterans' mental health. We had problems with the federal VA. They can't hire enough mental health staff in Alabama. Many of the centers are at like 50% staffing levels in mental health. The federal VA can refer veterans out to what's called community care, to private practitioners, but the problem was we have probably amongst the lowest availability of mental health providers in the country. So we sought to help some of the nonprofits in the state by funneling some grant money, some opioid settlement money, and other assets to those nonprofits to just beef up the availability of mental health services. We were actually seeing wait times for a veteran in crisis who might be suicidal of over 60 days to get an initial appointment for mental health. Well, it's obvious what happens. You tell a veteran, yeah, we'll get you an appointment in 60 days. What happens? Unfortunately, a lot of those veterans are likely to take their own lives. And that's why Alabama had usually the lowest or second lowest towards the bottom rate of veteran suicides. I mean, the bad end of the statistics.
Wow, yeah.
We were always at the bottom. It was a real crisis in Alabama. There was a grant program through the American Rescue Plan Act, $7 million, that we thought was going great. And we had a partnership with the Alabama Department of Mental Health. We were on track, we thought. Decisions were made about the nonprofits that were going to get those grant funds. And then pretty much at the last minute, the Alabama Department of Mental Health, who we were paying, pulled out of that agreement.
Just pulled out of it.
Pulled out of it. No time really to save the program. Long story short, it was investigated by the finance department. They came back and said, we couldn't find any problems. I talked to the finance director. He said, couldn't find a conflict of interest. Your process was good. I even got congratulated because we pulled out all the stops on short notice and found an alternative source of funds. Basically, I had to take the $7 million out of our operational budgetary funds to fund the grant. We found a new partner, Troy University, who was great. And they're carrying on in distribution of those grant funds now. But mental health had a problem. I think there were some personality conflicts, frankly, with some of the grant recipients. But it left us in a lurch. There were some other concerns by my bosses. The Commissioner of Veterans Affairs is chosen by the State Board of Veterans Affairs and by law is appointed for a four-year term and can only be dismissed for cause by the State Board of Veterans Affairs. Some of those members came to me in July of 2024 and said, we have serious ethics concerns with all how that all played out. They related them to me. I told them, okay, here's what the state ethics code says. If an agency head is made aware of ethics concerns, they have a 100% obligation to report those concerns to the Ethics Commission to look into it. And well, it's up to the Ethics Commission to decide if there's a problem there.
And I want to point out something, too, that you're not only in the position you were, but you also have a law degree and pretty much understand the adherence to state law in that regard.
Yeah, that's right. And ironically, Phil, I was actually a federal ethics attorney.
Okay.
That was my full-time job at one point for the federal government. So I knew the state law. I had been a city manager in Anniston and had to face ethics issues before. And it's a routine issue. You report things to the Ethics Commission. Sometimes they come back and say, nothing there. Thanks for reporting it to us. Sometimes they do an investigation. Sometimes they indict people. But that's not the job of the agency head. It's up to the Ethics Commission to make a determination.
Well, listen,
law says. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I hate it, but we're gonna run out of time on the ability to get this whole story done. But the bottom line is, you did make the report, and then next thing you know. The governor's calling for your head, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. So the state law says if an agency head fails to report ethics concerns that are brought to his or her attention, they're guilty of a misdemeanor crime. So okay. I reported it as required by the law.
Okay.
And ended up getting a pound of flesh extracted from me.
So the governor, now I got to ask you this, and then we're going to have to take a break. So I've got about a minute and a half here on this section. But the governor is not the one who hired you. You're not a member of her cabinet per se, and yet the governor chose to try and fire you, but then the State Board of Veterans Affairs came back and said, vote of confidence, we don't want him gone. And they chose to keep you. Am I right?
That's right. They basically put me through an inquisition several hours in a public, open meeting. I answered every question, and then they took two votes in committee and then the full board, and both votes were unanimous, first to exonerate me and the department, and then to ask me to stay and fill my term as commissioner.
And then next thing I know, I'm reading that the governor's staff sent somebody over, removed your state laptop, and took all your stuff, and basically said you're done anyway. Am I right?
That's right. She exercised what she called supreme executive power and said, I don't care what the board said. I'm removing you, and my power is the supreme executive of the state.
I know that you've retained legal counsel, and if there's things going on that you don't want to talk about, then I understand that because I am an attorney myself. But when we get back from this break, I'd like to hear where that is going. And then I want to touch on this legislation that's out there now, because now that I'm talking to you, I'm even less in favor of it. Admiral Davis, hang on through the break. We're going to come right back and pick this right up where we left off, all right?
Thanks.
All right. Cool. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're on the line right now. This is like one of the crazy stories I've heard of, and I've seen a few crazy things in state politics. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, with Rear Admiral Kent Davis. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. For those of y'all watching the live stream of the show, you just got to see my grandson come in the studio. That was kind of cool. I didn't know that was going to happen, but that's always fun. Hey, we're going right back to the phones right now with Rear Admiral Kent Davis, retired. He is the, well, now former 7th Commissioner of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. Hey, Admiral Davis, let me ask you this. I can reshuffle some things here on the show. Do you want to stay on a little bit longer past this next break? Because we only got about 5 minutes for the next break, and I'd be glad to keep you on a little bit longer to keep going on the story. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, well, tell you what we'll do then. We're going to talk here a few minutes. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and kind of wrap up at that point. But before I go too much further, I just got to know, Governor Ivey kind of made a spectacle, in my opinion, of and I've known her for years, and I've enjoyed working with her, but I don't know what was happening on this situation, but it was a rather public termination, and your attorney made mention that there was potential for legal action. Can I ask what the status of that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So my attorney, John Saxon, a Birmingham-based attorney, is working on a complaint now, and it'll be filed soon.
Okay.
I don't know of any other option. I really don't have any other option at this point. And, you know, citizens are allowed to avail themselves of the protections of the third branch of government, the judicial process. So that's where I'm going.
Well, and I'm sorry to hear that, but I certainly understand. So there's that bit of somewhat breaking news. Let me ask you, as things have transpired, you know, in have you heard any more from the governor's office? Did she ever reach out to you after the termination?
Phil, I've never talked to the governor about any of this.
Never once?
She is not the one that contacted me. Not once.
Okay.
In all of this, the only contact I've had with the governor in the last few months since this all started was I was on September 9th over at the governor's office when they demanded that I resign. And I spent about an hour and a half with her chief of staff and legal counsel. The governor opened the door to the conference room and for about 15 minutes looked at me and said, "I hope we can work something out to avoid a special called meeting." That was the extent. That is the entire conversation that I've had with the governor over all of this. All the notices I got were from a legal assistant over in the governor's office. Holy, not one substantive conversation with the governor.
Holy crap. All right, so I did not know that. So there's never been a time when she asked you to sit down in the room with the Department of Mental Health and try to work out the issue that caused all of it to start?
No, never.
Never once.
So I offered that in that September 9th meeting to her chief of staff and legal counsel.
All right, well, there's talk right now that you're going to run for office. Is that going to happen?
It's funny. I'm getting a lot of encouragement, and I've just politely told everyone that I would strongly consider some run for office because, frankly, given my political leanings, which probably I share with you, I'm kind of fed up with the state of affairs in Alabama, and I think the state needs some outsiders to come in and shake things up in a populist style.
Well, I don't disagree, and, you know, I gave a story on the air earlier. My own father was the finance director for Fob James. He and Governor James had a falling out, which was of no fault of my dad's, and my dad decided to run against him. So
wow.
He didn't get elected to governor, but I can certainly sort of sense the feeling of being in the state government and then leaving and then deciding to go back and run against the ones who were the cause of you leaving. Now let me ask you this. We're going to come back in a minute and talk about this legislation that is currently before the state legislature. It's actually being carried in the Senate by the guy who took my place in the Senate when I chose not to run again. Andrew Jones got the seat. Have you ever been approached by Andrew Jones? Did he ever ask or solicit your advice or anyone from the State Board of Veterans Affairs for that piece of legislation?
Definitely not me, and I'm not aware of any contact he's had with the State Board. In fact, that's one of the concerns I hear constantly in the veteran community is the rushed and secretive nature of this bill. He acknowledged on Capitol Journal that it was drafted solely by the governor's office. He didn't draft it.
Okay.
It was filed on a Tuesday. The next morning, rushed through a committee, and they tried to get a Senate floor vote the very next day in an attempt to overturn 80 years of structure and processes for the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs in about 72 hours. And everybody's scratching their head saying,
well,
why the rush?
Well, listen, the music's playing. That means I'm going to a break. But, Admiral, if you'll hang on, we're going to finish this conversation right after the break. Is that good?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. Y'all, I mean, it goes from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. It goes all the way down to that pretty little town on the plains called Auburn. And yes, it does include big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going back to the phones here. There's a piece of legislation that is currently underway in the Alabama State Senate and House. In the House version, it's House Bill 154 by, I'm not sure who the House sponsor is, but it's Senate Bill 67, sponsored by Senator Andrew Jones. And it basically would have the effect of dissolving the State Board of Veterans Affairs, in a sense, taking the commissioner's position, making it a political appointment. On the phone right now is Admiral Kent Davis, who most recently was the 7th commissioner of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. And so, Admiral, the bill right now, you just told us right before the break that as far as you know, the bill was drafted for Senator Jones by the governor's office and that no Veterans Association's input was there. Is that right?
That's correct. He said that on Capitol Journal on December 20th, and I was in a House committee meeting the other day listening, and all of the veteran service organizations said we were never consulted on this at all. It was sprung very quickly and surprised everybody.
Wow. Well, it's never a good form, and I don't understand the process by which that happened. Me personally, just so you know, I'm actually a member of MOA, a Military Officer Association. I'm a past member of VFW. And you know, a 30-year veteran, I'm the son of a veteran and the grandson of a veteran and the dad of a veteran. So I don't get it. It sounds like there was no veterans input in the bill.
No, not at all, apparently. And there was an attempt to rush it through. I think a lot of the veterans groups feel like it was an attempt to ramrod it through before anybody could figure out what was going on with it. But I'm proud of the veteran community. They responded pretty quickly and said, no, time out. Wait a minute. Don't we get a say in this at all?
Well, and that's by the way, that's some of the best legislation comes when the stakeholders jump in and get to the state house and actually make themselves known. And I've seen some things that were considered to be non-controversial. Suddenly you find out they are controversial. So I don't know if Andrew Jones just didn't recognize the extent to what he's doing. He's not a veteran. I know that for a fact. But I also look at it and think, okay, or was he just doing the bidding? And by the way, our mutual friend Becky Gerritsen just texted in and said that it's State Representative Ed Oliver is the one carrying the House version of that bill. So
that's correct.
Let me ask you, I understand they debated it for a while on the Senate floor. I've been there many times for filibusters and the machinations of government and watching things happen. And I'm understanding there's a bunch of amendments that got tacked on. Were they good amendments or bad amendments? What do you know about the amendment process so far on this bill?
Yeah, there are at least 9 amendments now, I've heard, and I've heard there might be as many as 14 now being proposed.
That's a new bill.
Unfortunately, most of the amendments are aimed at tweaking the membership of the State Board of Veterans Affairs. Now, the one criticism that I think is legitimate that I've had is that's a big board. It is a really big board, 17 members by law. Now, that's at some point you become unwieldy. And I've always said you might want to consider paring that board down to a more manageable size, 10 to 12 people. It's always important to look at diversity, both geographically, demographically. But they're now back up to, they started with 9 members of this reconstituted advisory board taking away their power. And now I think they're up to 15 again because they keep adding in mandatory members of the board. So I think that's a bad idea. So the amendments seem largely aimed at doing worse damage to the bill, and they're not addressing the substantive issues of taking away the substantive power of the State Board of Veterans Affairs and politicizing all of those positions, the commissioner and the state board members. I personally think that's a mistake. I think there's a hybrid that you could come up with that gives the governor, other politicians, a strong say, but also gives a strong say to the veteran community in running veterans affairs in Alabama. And there's a great analogy there, by the way, with the Alabama Department of Public Health.
Yep.
They went through last year.
Yep. They really did. And the governor did not take the lead on asking for that position to be brought into the fold. In fact, it kind of got stymied in part because the governor's office didn't really provide any measurable support for it, if I recall.
That's right. You may remember there was a backing off of the original intent. There was an original intent to make the public health officer, the state health officer, a political appointee. And then much like this, a very specialized area in taking care of a particular segment of the population, the end result was, well, we're not going to change it that much. The state health officer will still be appointed by a board of medical experts with just a little bit more political oversight. I would hope that cooler heads would prevail in this and a recognition this is a very specialized area. The model has worked very well for 80 years, Alabama gets accolades for some of the things we were doing in Veterans Affairs at the state level. I think the lieutenant governor said it well. He said, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Yeah. Yeah, great point.
You can always tweak things and find a little bit better.
Great point. The lieutenant governor recently came out in absolute disfavor when it comes to the bill. I'll be honest with you. I think right now what you've got is a bill that looks like it's on the verges of death. And I'm surprised he got it to the floor as quick as he did. But nonetheless, we'll wait and see how this process develops. I mean, he's got what amounts to now he's going to have to do a substitute bill. He can't just carry this heavily amended bill and call it the same thing. He's going to have to draft a substitute at some point and drop it in on top of it and get that done. But so let me talk about the actual position you held. This bill not only does away with the potential for the Veterans Associations to have true impact and authority in the ADVA, but it also takes the position out of their hands that you were in and hands it to the governor solely and makes it a political appointee, correct?
That's right. That's absolutely right in its current form.
Was there ever a time, and here's the question I have for you, was there ever a time when you served in that, or to your knowledge, the ones who served prior to you, that if the governor had called and said, I need to work with you on something, that you wouldn't have been able to do that?
Not at all, but I'm going to be brutally honest, Phil. So in 5.5 years as commissioner, governor was invited. By law, she's the chair of the State Board of Veterans Affairs. Never chaired a meeting, never participated in a substantive discussion. There are about 70 facilities of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. The governor has never visited a single one of those. No real interest in Veterans Affairs until a few months ago when this retaliatory streak started. Most veterans say, okay, you got retaliation against Admiral Kent Davis. Now this bill seems to be retaliation against the State Board of Veterans Affairs for unanimously voting to retain me. Honestly, that's what I hear in the veteran community.
Yeah.
But no interest, no participation by the governor up until recently. Now all of a sudden there's this sudden interest in, quote, improving ADVA. Never heard anything but accolades, good reports. And I do find some of the substantive reasons that are being touted for this bill a little suspect. They keep saying, oh, it's important to raise the commissioner to a cabinet level to stress the importance. Well, we proposed this several years ago. It wasn't me. It was actually the executive director of AlaVetNet, which is an interagency cooperation group, and the governor said no several years ago. So I don't know what the sudden change in tone is. I keep hearing that this is aimed at improving services of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs, but nobody seems to give specifics what services need improving. And there hasn't been a lot of interest. I've heard that, oh, this is about oversight of finances. Well, okay, we have a lot of oversight, probably more so than any other department right now. Every year we have to brief the governor's finance department in detail for budgetary input. Then it goes to the legislature for a detailed review. And last year I did a presentation for them on every line item. Then it goes back to the governor for final signature. There's not a lot of discretionary spending in the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs.
No, there's
only about 1%.
There's really not.
From the general fund.
Yeah. And I've seen it in the general fund multiple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
about 1% from the general fund and about 50% from the federal government based on strict formulas, heavily audited by the State Board of Examiners, the State Auditor's Office. We've passed every audit with flying colors. No findings, unlike a lot of other agencies. We're inspected by the federal VA, the State Public Health Department, and many other agencies. So I don't understand that we need more oversight. We have more oversight in that department than I think any agency.
Well,
the other reason I hear is,
Admiral,
I want to
say we're going to have to wind it up here because I got to head to the last break, and I want to tell you, first of all, I appreciate your time and your candor and your service, but the reality is this bill is still floating. Let me ask you this just real quick with about a minute left. What are you hearing right now in terms of, does the bill have the votes in your opinion to pass?
I don't know. I hear that they are intentionally taking a pause because a lot of senators and representatives have said, wait a minute, time out. We need to take a closer look at this. This is not exactly what we were told originally. So I salute them for carrying the bill over,
yep,
soliciting input, and I hope they continue to listen. What I really wish they do is study this issue for another year, maybe put together a committee to say, how can we improve things? Let's not rush into this. There's no imminent problem that they need to address. Look at it, and then next year come back with some improvements.
Well, we'll see. I've seen some bills take 2, 3, 4, and 5 years to ever pass. And then I've also seen some, like what you just described, come to the floor described one way, get debated, you find out there's more, then you start hearing from constituents, and then you realize what you've got on your hands is a hot potato that nobody needs to deal with, and why are we trying to break something that's not broken? Listen, Rear Admiral Kent Davis, again, thank you for everything. Thanks for making time today. We're going to stay in touch on this, and you've also got all my contact points, so if you see something else happening, just let us know, okay?
Absolutely, Phil. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. All right, that's it, man. Listen, this is a weird deal. And this is by the way, don't think this is something that's like abnormal. You've never seen anything like this, a piece of legislation that has problems. Oh, it happens every year. But this one's a little weirder than normal because this one resulted from the termination of an employee who you look at and realize maybe she didn't actually have the authority to terminate. It became a public spectacle that didn't have to be public. He's telling us on the air he never had the contact with the governor's office that would have warranted the kind of discussions that they didn't have, basically. And then you also look at all the things that have transpired since then with legislation drafted by the governor's office to try and go back and fix the place that all it did was really draw the ire of the. This is like a political hit job, is what it feels like. Yeah, and I have to question. How much of this is coming from staffers of the governor? How much is coming from the governor herself? And is any of it even needed? That's crazy talk right there, I know. But there you go. That's state politics for you. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come back and get some text messages and get caught up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. I had somebody talking in one ear and the headphones going in the other ear, and I didn't know what was happening. All right, that was a great interview with Admiral Davis. It's not often that I take a segment and decide to just push everything back so I can get more out of it. But yeah, that was a great segment. Let me grab a few text numbers there for you. Gary from Leicester, Alabama says, oh, tells me to run for governor. No, just not. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. That's very thoughtful, but that job eats people. Mike from Florence, Alabama says, Valentine's Day sound effect. Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. Let's not.
Thanks for your thought, though.
Got a little Barry White action there. Hey, baby. I got to go to the phones real quick. Brian from Huntsville's on the line. Hey, man, how are you?
Doing pretty well since I'm here with my family and everything. But to our service members out there being deployed or are deployed right now, away from their families on Valentine's Day, that won't get to hold hands with them like I get to. I just want them to keep in mind that we all love you and your families. And you get a family behind that. I can sum it up to them all. Happy Valentine's Day. And thank you.
Good stuff, Brian. Appreciate you, man. Bless you. That's good stuff. Yes, I have personally missed birthdays and school events and holidays. I will tell you this. The interesting thing was I was blessed on both my deployments to leave right after Christmas and to get home right before Christmas. So that was actually, timing-wise, was pretty incredible. But I can remember growing up and, you know, Dad not being there for things because he was gone. I know that they can say the same about my granddad. And my granddad, I mean, gosh, we got it different nowadays. My granddad, he left in 1942, and he came back home in 1945. That's just the way it was. Other text messages. Let's see what we got here. Chris from Sterrett, Alabama. He says, like you said, the ADVA, the Veterans Affairs, and the state health officer are two different positions. They ought to be administered differently. Anyone who can't see that needs help. Okay. There you go. Paul from Athens says, I wonder if this firing about the admiral is part of the forming of new bureaucracies trying to get back on the government gravy train. I don't know what you mean by that, Paul, and I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm saying I'm not sure what you're, where you're going with that. What I do know is it appears that the Department of Mental Health had money that they had already attributed to use for Veterans Affairs, and that caused the problem because they couldn't get to it. And I don't know what the conflict of interest that he talked about was, but I'm sure somebody does, and we're going to find out. Gary from Madison says, why doesn't Huntsville have a veteran cemetery? I don't have an answer for you. I'm not sure how to answer that.
They don't?
I'm curious. Now, the veteran cemeteries are different. There's a beautiful one down at Montevallo. I believe there's another one. The goal is to try to have them within 75 miles-ish of every veteran. We've got one in central Alabama. We've got one in south Alabama. I think that's in Baldwin County. And I believe there's talk of one in north Alabama, but I don't know. Kevin from Hartsell says, I'll vote for him. There you go. Thomas Mathen says, for the future of veteran-friendly service members to be served well in Alabama communities, it seems, yes, I'm not going to say the acronym, everybody knows what it means, wrong, basically, to diminish veteran input and control the ADVA. There you go. You got it. TL from Huntsville says, Phil, thank you for having on Rear Admiral Kent Davis. I had concerns about this power grab by Governor Ivey early on, but this discussion makes me even less happy with Governor Ivey than I was before. In my opinion, she can't retire soon enough, he says. Strong arm fast tracks on bad bills seem to be Ivy's infamy. Same thing happened with the gas tax. Yeah, and all right, TL, first of all, I hated the gas tax. And in the first go-round, while I was still in the Senate, I was the last person in the order of march there, as they called the roll, that killed the gas tax when they tried to do it the first time. I do not appreciate the gas tax. I thought it was wrong. But I will say this. A governor's job is to get in front of some good things and have agenda items and press for them and bring the weight of the office. Look what Trump's doing right now in D.C. So I don't fault Governor Ivey for having a thing that she wants done. The question I've got right now is why she want it done. She can ostensibly make the claim that the gas tax is going to help build roads, even though I hate the fact that we have a gas tax. At least she's got a backing reason for it, and she got out in front of it and she talked about it. She is saying boo about this thing with ADVA. She's just got a senator doing her gig for her, running legislation that her office apparently wrote, we think, and nobody's being given any credible reason as to why this is truly necessary. So the fault in this lies with the lack of transparency and the lack of candor on the part of the governor's office. It just appears spiteful. JT Lacey Springs says, what do we have?
He says, do we now have Governor Kay Biden? She's doing jackassery.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's the thing. We're calling balls and strikes. We didn't like having a lame duck president when he had a D next to his name. We don't like it when she has an R next to her name. So it's yeah, I see a lot of the same things.
There you go. Good word. And then last one, Harry from Madison says, when my son got out of the Navy last year after serving on the USS Green Bay in Japan, he struggled with a response when someone thanked him for his service, and we discussed it, and he came up with a great one. He simply said, thank you for your support. That is a great line. All right, coming up next, we move the order of march, but we're going to do some JP on sports. You guys stay tuned. We'll change the topic and change the tone. We'll be right back.